Good morning, everyone. First, I'd like to send my congratulations to welcome two of our fine young men, Horace and Darren, into our church as members of ECCS. And may the Lord continue to bless them in their growth and be able to be a good witness for our Lord Jesus in their community and in the work or at uni, and continue to be able to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O Lord, be acceptable unto you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have chosen the topic, Who Will Be There For You? It is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 11. In fact, the whole chapter concerning the wonderful story of Jesus and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, this family, the two sisters and a brother called Lazarus. And of course, the passage that we have just read earlier by our sister Suki. The truth is that all of us desperately need close good friends. No one knew this more than Apostle Paul. Paul, during his missionary journey, he time and time again, Paul's friends came to his aid when he desperately needed their help. Because Paul met a lot of persecutions and people were trying to harm him. And he needed help from his friends, particularly within the church community. One time, they had to lower him in a large basket and let him down over the fence wall. In fact, in this case, was the wall of Jerusalem. And he has to escape from that city because people were trying to harm Paul. And his friends allow him to put in a big basket to escape from the city. And particularly, the authorities were also keeping an eye on him. And if you look at Acts chapter 9, verse 25, they lower him in a big basket over the Jerusalem wall for him to escape. Another time, Paul's friends were there for him when he was stoned by the mob. And the mob left him there for dead, thinking that Paul was stoned to death. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. But of course, thankfully, Paul did not die by the stoning of the mob. And in the conclusion of his letter to the Romans, Paul mentions Phoebe, his benefactor, and a famous couple in the scripture, Priscilla and Aquila, who risked their lives to save Paul. Again, it is recorded in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. So, dearly beloved, all of us need good friends, devoted friends, who will be there for us when life is hard. Particularly, we are living in the 21st century. Life can be at times up and down. And we need friends who can help us in time of challenges, in time of hardships, in time of crisis. Good friends constitute one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. Who are we going to call when the family is in trouble? Who are we going to call when that report from the doctor turns out to be bad news? Who are we going to call when we have good news to share, that we have just got engaged, or we are going to have a baby, or we just had a new job, or a promotion in our job? Who are we going to tell? Of course, we will want to tell all our good friends of the good news, all the challenges of things happening in our lives. It has been observed that friendship is the great mathematician. It troubles, it doubles our joy and divides our grief, our sorrow, our burden. All of us need good friends to support us or to share our burdens, because good friends are there to support us invariably. Often our good friends are closer to us than sometimes our relations with our relatives. In fact, the wise writer of Proverbs, who says, "A friend who sticks closer than a brother," Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24b. Yes, even Proverbs, thousands of years ahead of us, already say the truth, that good friends can be closer than our relatives. It is possible to have a good friend with whom you can share the most intimate concerns of your life. Jesus has friends like this from the passage that we have just read earlier this morning. Jesus was a good friend of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Three or four years ago, when we last visited Israel, in Jerusalem, we were, brought by the guide, a local guide, who led us to a church in Bethany. And it was to be previously, of course, I do not know whether that is the truth or not, but it was pointed out to us that place where the church was where the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. It was a beautiful church. But outside that church, there were a row of olive trees. And the guide told us these olive trees were hundreds and hundreds of years old. Yes, they look very, very old, but it was still very strong and looks very, growing beautifully, abundantly. Every Sunday morning when I drive and park my car where our milk bar is, I notice that our church has a beautiful olive tree. This year, actually, I told Anne, it's full of beautiful olives. And now the new tenant is the lucky recipient of that olive tree because they have just taken over the lease of the milk bar. It's abundant, full of olives this year. And it was the same that when we visited Bethany, it was a beautiful place, a place of quietness, a place where beautiful olive tree, a row of trees near the church. It was a place of rest for Jesus. Every time he went on his journey, he needed a place to go and to have some rest. In John chapter 11, Jesus' good friend, Lazarus, had died. As you all know, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, they were good friends of Jesus. And Jesus has visited their home in Bethany often. The scripture says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 5. One day Jesus got word that his dear friend Lazarus was very sick. But Jesus was busy in his ministry. He couldn't get to Bethany on time. But as Jesus got near to Bethany, Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And Jesus began to weep. In fact, that is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. John chapter 11, verses 33, 35, and 36. John's purpose in including this story in his gospel is to show that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But another point of the story is the great importance that Jesus placed on human friendship. When our church, ECC, first started, more than 30 years ago, we were meeting and borrowing the Uniting Church in Box Hill. And one day, or one evening, I received a phone call from our brother, many of you would know him, Dr. Ang Woo Yok. And in that phone call, he told me that his son, Calvin, or Xiong Guan, he was only 6 years old, and he had a car accident. And he died. When I heard that call, I was devastated. So I told Dr. Ang, at that time he wasn't a pastor yet, his father was. He was one of the founding four families who started the ECC church. That evening, we rushed, Anne and I rushed to go over to their home in East Doncaster. They have a two-story house in East Doncaster. And they have an underground car park. And apparently, they have, you know, Dr. Ang and his wife, Hai Ling, they are both dentists or dental surgeons. They have their own practice, and after the day's work, they went and collect their two, three children from their parents, Weox's parents, also living in Doncaster. And they went home. But as the car parked outside the garage, their eldest son, who is only 14 years old, you know, boys being boys, he asked the mother's permission to park the car underground. And for some unknown reason, I don't know what happened, Xiong Guan was run over by the brother, who was only 14 years old, trying to park his car underground garage in his house. It was the most devastating news that we have ever experienced. Anne and I went to their home. Words cannot, I just could not say a word to comfort them. All I did was put my hand around Wu Yok, and we went into their lounge and sat in their lounge for some time. There were other friends also came to comfort them. And do you know, Xiong Guan, being 6 years old, was the same age as our son, John Ho. They were to separate within a few weeks when they were born. And we just don't know how to comfort Dr. Ang and his wife, Hai Ling. It was one of the saddest incidents that happened in our church community. But do you know, later on, Dr. Ang became Pastor Wu Yok, and he in fact conducted the wedding of our son John. And he still remember that I put my hand on his shoulder to comfort him without saying a word. All those years, 30 over years, when John got married, he says that was the most comforting gesture for me to show him as a good friend when he felt such a great loss when Xiong Guan passed away. Little Xiong Guan was the apple of his father's eye. Even up to today, every time you mention about little Xiong Guan, Wu Yok will be very proud to remember little things of that little boy. So, dear friends, it is a very sad story of how our church first started. When we have good friends to support one another in time of crisis, in time of loss, in time of despair. So, dear friends, one of the best places to make friends is in the church. George Barna of the Barna Group, one of the most respected religious survey groups in America. He did a study on the main places where adults say they would go to make new friends Some of the figures are interesting. 3% said they would go to a supermarket, a mall, or a store. 3% say that to meet new friends there. 4% cited a bar, a dance club, or at a party. 4% say that we can find good friends there. 12% said they will look for friends in their neighborhood where they live. 49% say they will go to church in search of friends. So there you are. Half, nearly just on 49%, say they can find friends when they go to church. So on the other side of the coin, it's just as true. When people start visiting a new church, if they do not establish meaningful friendships within the first few weeks, they will not likely to come back to church. If we don't go out of our way to make sure they find friendship, they probably will not return to church. Therefore, the church is a place for us to make and cherish meaningful Christian friendship. It is also a place for us to be a new friend to newcomers, to include them in our fellowship, as well as seek opportunities outside the church to spend time together. Who will be there for you? The friends of the church will be, or at least they should be. On this Sunday, let us celebrate God's great gift of friendship. Let us give thanks to God for every good friend that we have. And let us recommit ourselves to the friendship principle, determining to be a friend of the highest order. So this morning, who will be there for you? It is within our church community. Many of us have good friends within the church community. And it is that we can learn from our Lord Jesus himself. He had friends like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, a place where he can go for rest in Bethany during his busy ministries. He needed rest. He needed to go and get himself recharged. And may the Lord teach us that we need only, not only to be good friends for our church members, not only just coming each Sunday, but outside of our church life, that we need to learn from our Lord Jesus that good friends are very important, particularly when sometimes we have great challenges in our life and we need good friends to support us. And at times, even more important than our relatives. May the Lord teach us this morning to learn how to be good friends within our church community. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you teach us the important question, who will be there for us? Help us, O Lord, to have good friends within the church community, to support us in times when we rejoice together, in time when we face challenges and hardships, and even crisis at times. May the Lord teach us also to have compassion for our friends in times of difficulty. Help us to be generous. Help us always to be mindful of their needs in their time of challenges. May we be able to be of help to those within our community when they call out for help. Help us, O Lord, to be good friends in our church. And may all glory and honor be given unto you. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen.